Are you able to escape to a place and listen to some music?
You would always know my trailer because it's the one that's got the loudest music coming from it. I tend to annoy all my fellow castmates like that, but I tend to kind of crank up the volume.
Anything in particular?
It kind of depends on what I'm doing, you know. Mm. There's certain things. There's stuff that's always there. Is the older stuff, Bob Dylan, or you know, I'm a great Paul Weller fan.
Yeah.
I'll always be playing that. But in recent years, Kasabian's kind of done it for me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, get your lighter up there. I'm wondering, just thinking about the American TV series we've seen, I suppose most recently, Once Upon a Time, and the whole Rumpelstiltskin, Brothers Grimm thing. I wonder what kind of music you would escape to with that. That must be very interesting to inhabit. That is a dual world, in fact, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. You've got the fairy tale land, and you've got the real world of Storybrooke. So there isn't anything that can maybe fix for both. But Kasabian does it for me. Underdog.
Yeah.
Put a bit of that on. That gets me ready.
Do you know what's funny? When I was thinking about Rumpelstiltskin, I was thinking it's one of these things you grew up knowing about Rumpelstiltskin. I sat down and thought, Janice, what's it about?
Yes.
And then I had to go and look it up.
Well, that's it. That's the thing. That's exactly it. With Rumpelstiltskin, you think, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you think, really, all you know is the name and the fact that he spun straw into gold. And that was as much as I knew as well. But, of course, you know, the way that our writers and producers have set up the show, you don't really have to know that much about any of these characters because they're taken off in journeys which are completely out with the original fairy tales that they came from.
I looked up, it was on Wikipedia, so you know, you always have to double check these things, but apparently there's a similar Scottish story called Whoppity Story.
That's right. Well, Rumpelstiltskin exists in many, many different countries in the world, and he's got different names wherever you go. The strangest one I thought was in America, in fact. Originally he was called Rumpelstiltskin.
Okay.
Which is that double stilts thing going on in there.
Right.
But he is pretty much the same character all over the world.
Yeah, and it's something that I guess, particularly with that series, people can relate to, and the idea of dual identities and all of that. But it's just so funny, just the trajectory of your career. Every time I speak to you, you know, there's been a new development. with the American TV series, I mean, that just must be fascinating. And I wonder how different it is working on a long-running series or an intense series compared to a film. Is it a very different setup, or are there similarities, in fact?
Well, I guess, you know, the similarities are the obvious ones, that there's a camera and there's lines, you know, and you have to try and remember them. And don't bump into the furniture, as Cary Grant once said. But, of course, it's a longer-term thing, and really, the way that I tend to handle that is I don't think about it too much.
Yeah.
And what I try and do, as I've always done through my entire career, is I play every scene as if it's the only thing. You know, and that's the end of that. And then I move on to the next scene. I play that scene 100% as well. So I don't think about what's going to happen in episode 6 and in episode 17 or 22, mainly because you don't know.
Uh-huh.
You get the early scripts and you don't quite know where the character's gone. And the way they do it in American TV land is very interesting, that they actually write for you. They think, okay, well, this is where he's going. This is what he's capable of doing. We'll take the character down this road or that road.
That is brilliant, isn't it? Is that a real difference from British television?
Totally different. Wow. Totally different. And British TV, it's pretty much there. There's a script. It's you know what if you got a six hour piece, you will get the 6 hours. And American TV, you won't, you know. And of course, you know, it's much longer over there. You've got the 13, yeah, episode 15 or 20, 22. So you can't possibly do that. So they see, you know, what you're capable of, and then they'll write accordingly.
That's fascinating, because I knew I'd spoken to a writer, a comedy writer, who told me about Frasier, and it was something I hadn't known, that there was an individual writer for each character. Mm-hmm. I thought that was amazing, and it made a lot of sense if you've got the wherewithal to do that and the money to do that.
I think that's right. There's a fantastically talented woman called Jane Espenson, who's part of the Once Upon a Time writing team, and she writes kind of specifically for Rumpelstiltskin and his episode, so it's exactly the same.
I hadn't taken it beyond, though, to that idea of writing beyond just for the character, but for what the actor, so in this case, what Bobby Carlyle can do.
That's right. That's right. That's what makes it so interesting, you know.
And I'm also interested by what you said there about just almost staying in the moment, doing that one scene. That sounds like a very good philosophy long term for the mental career that you have, in terms of an actor where you're never quite sure. I suppose there are actors who can totally imagine, would go off their heads if they start thinking about it too much, about where they're going, the trajectory of the career and so on. There's that side of it long term, and I guess short term, just in terms of staying in the moment for the character and the scene, it must make sense. Are you aware of that kind of balancing act?
Very much so. I mean, I think you have to do that. I think that's any advice I would give to any young actor is just don't think too far ahead, because the danger there is you're going to drop the ball. You know, you're not going to be thinking about what you're actually doing in the moment. In the moment's the most important thing. It doesn't matter what's happening down the way. It doesn't matter what film you might get next year or what film might lead on for this or whatever. It's what you're doing now. You've got to give your best in the moment.
And do you feel, though, as you continue in your career, and you have been extremely successful and deservedly so, and I'm saying that as somebody who saw you way back in the day.
I tell you what, we go way back.
We go too far way back. And you'll be covering all of this, I presume, and more tonight in conversation with Alan Morrison at the Travis as part of the Edinburgh International Film Festival. Yeah. I'm wondering about, you know, you're a patron of the film festival.
I am.
That then important for you as you become more of a, you know, a senior member of the acting community or a figure that's looked up to in Scotland? Are you aware of that and think you've got to put a wee bit back?
Well, you know, I mean, the horrible word the Americans call you is a veteran.
Did you notice I didn't say that?
You
word.
Didn't say that, did you? Thank you for not saying that. Well, you know, I don't think you can think too much about that, Janice. You know, you've just got to kind of, you know, don't think about, you know me, you know what I mean? I don't think like that. I don't think about what people are saying or what they imagine about me or my life or whatever. It's, you know, just get your head down and do your job.
Mm-hmm. But the film festival is important. It's gone through troubled times recently, and it seems to be back on an even keel, fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. So
I think Chris has done a great job.
Yes,
I
think so, and I hope it goes well over the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. But do you think, I mean, you're probably aware of it, even if you're spending a bit of time out of Scotland at the moment, but there's a festival on every other day right across the country, which is terrific.
This
is the oldest continuously running film festival in Europe, certainly. It might be the world, I can't remember the statistics.
Is that
now.
Right? I didn't know that.
Yeah, because there are others that are maybe started earlier, but there were big gaps for various reasons. Yeah. So it is something.
It's amazing considering we don't produce many films.
That's true. Let's hope that changes.
Well, I hope so.
But
yes.
Does the film festival have a place in your heart? I mean, there have been various films over the years that have premiered here for you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the proudest moments for me was when I was, you know, I was given the Best Actor Award a few years ago for a movie I did called Summer. You know, and I've been very fortunate in my life and career that I've picked up a few awards here and there. But that was really, you know, when you get it from home, it really means something more to you, mm-hmm. and particularly from Edinburgh, because I started out here, as you know, in the theatre. You know, many, many years ago, Edinburgh has been a big part of my life. So that was a big thing for me. And so Edinburgh is always, always going to have a big place in my heart, for sure.
I remember speaking to Peter Mullen at some point a while back and asking him if he would think of going back to theatre, because he's so heavily involved with film and television and film as a director too. And at that point, he might have changed his mind. He's just like, no, not interested in going back. What about you?
Oh, I go up and down with it sometimes. You know, there's you know, I've always been a great Shakespeare fan. You know, as you probably remember, you know, mm-hmm. back in the day, I've directed, you know, some Shakespeare productions as well. And I think about it from time to time and think, yeah, you know, by the time I'm ready to go back, it's probably going to be King Lear or something like that. But
I see Frank Langella is about to do that.
Is that
Langella.
Right? Is that, well, there you go.
Always mispronounce
Langella.
His name.
Langella.
Yeah, he's just a wee bit older than you, though.
He is just slightly. Yeah, thank you. But yeah, I mean, I think. It's more than possible that I would do that. I remember some years ago, Sam Mendes had a chat about doing Pravda, which Anthony Hopkins had done successfully many, many years before. And it was him that said it, not me. He said, I think this is a part that you should do someday and we should do it together. So that's something that at some point, you know, we might approach.
You already said you don't think too much about these things, but you know, being part of, you know, much loved American television series, that's a different form of, it's a massive fan base that you have with these things, and people feel that they have a real connection with you. They you know, it's a fandom thing, whether you like it or not. That must create a sort of an interesting dynamic for you. You have to be aware of that and how you deal with that.
Yeah, that's certainly true, and it's very different from back home, and the fandom, even the word.
I hate to use the word fan base because I think it's a despicable
even
term.
That,
but you know what I mean?
And that's and particularly when we come from where we come from, it makes you cringe, that kind of stuff. It really does. But I'm aware of it, you know, and let me tell you, I am grateful for it. There's no doubt about that. And the people, I mean, today, for instance, today, I just did BBC 5 Live with your old friend Mark Kermode, who sends his love, by the way. And outside there was three girls who were huge, big Once Upon a Time fans, and one of them had come all the way from Mexico,
no,
just to hear me talking. And there was another one who came all the way from Germany, and the other girl, in fact, had probably come, strangely enough, she's closer, it would have taken her longer, she came all the way from Cornwall. So you go, wow, you've really got to take that and you know, and respect that.
Yeah.
So it's a real thing. It's a real deal, you know. And I'm enjoying it at the moment. That's for sure.
And I presume there must be sort of sections of the year where you do spend time away from home. But has there ever been any inclination from you and the family to, you know, up sticks and leave Glasgow as the home base and go off to LA or wherever?
Well, certainly not Los Angeles. That's never been my bag. But at the moment, certainly, for the past 4 years, and I'm just about to go back to Vancouver now for what they call my fifth season over there. And I'm an honorary Canadian at the moment. I spend 9 months of the year in Canada.
And how do you manage that with the family?
Well, you know, in the first couple of years, they didn't come with me. And then my wife and I, you know, suddenly realised, look, this is ridiculous. You know, a family means being together.
Mm-hmm.
So in the last year, they actually came out and we put them into school there, the kids and stuff, and they had a great time, you know, and they're going to come back again with me now next year.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds as if, you know, it will enrich their lives. You're clearly handling it well.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's what I said. I kept saying them as well. I said, don't you realise how exotic you'll become overnight because you've went to school in Canada?
Yes, that's right.